Time now for the latest world sport from the BBC with me, Chris Dennis. Coming up in the next 10 minutes, three centuries put New Zealand's cricketers in the driving seat against India. Braun's controversial new car catches the eye in practice for the Australian Grand Prix.
Yeah, you never know until you get to a race. I think until we get to Saturday afternoon, none of us are really going to know where we are, and that's the first reality check. And then, of course, the race on Sunday.
And the flame goes out on the Olympic torch relay. First, though, cricket and New Zealand are well placed to level their test series against India after declaring on 619 for 9 in their first innings in the second test in Napier. Jesse Ryder went on to reach a double century and Brendan McCullum became the third Kiwi batsman in the innings to reach three figures. By the close of the second day, India are in trouble, 79 for 3 in their reply. Our reporter in Napier is Brian Waddle.
Jesse Ryder's first double century, the highest test score on the ground, was the main stroke of individual brilliance. But it would be unfair to ignore the exceptional quality from others on a day when another 347 runs were added. As Ryder pushed to his highest test score, he and Franklin added 121 before Franklin was run out 20 minutes before lunch. Ryder added 62 with McCullum before being bowled the ball after posting his double century. Victorian McCullum didn't let the momentum lessen either, as they added 128 in 28 overs to pour more misery on the Indian bowlers. When the declaration came, New Zealand had reached the highest innings total in tests on the ground before India started in typical fashion. Sehwag said about the bowling till he played an awful stroke in the ninth over. Vittori's first, and he was out for 34. Gambier also played too freely against Ospin and Patel. And Ishant Sharma was LBW. They conceded three wickets by stumps.
So there's still plenty to do if for New Zealand are to win the test. But Brendan McCullum, the last of their century makers, feels the team have done everything right so far.
It's been a great couple of days for the team, particularly after the disappointment at Hamilton. We were completely outplayed. We never really fired a shot throughout that test match. And turning up here knowing that it was going to be hard graft to try to force a result. And so far, we've done everything we can. We know tomorrow and the next day is going to take a lot of effort to try and dismiss these guys and hopefully set something up for the fifth day. But we can't ask for any better position than what we're in at the moment in day two.
Next to motor racing, and Williams, Toyota and the new Braun GP team were quickest in practice for Sunday's Australian Grand Prix, the first in the new Formula One season. Nico Rosberg in the Williams was fastest, but it was a bad start for McLaren and reigning world champion Lewis Hamilton, who finished down in 18th place.
What exactly is the problem with the car?
The car.
Full stop.
Yeah, I mean, there's no single error, I would say. We just generally... The car's not that bad, actually. It's just you can't carry enough speed through the corners. We're just lacking downforce. But the team are working harder than ever. It's great to see just how united the team are. Back at the factory, they're working day and night. You know, guys are being pushed over the limit to really develop and also get spare parts out of here and new parts out here. And without their strength and our strength as a team, there would be no way of making the improvement.
Well, that's Lewis Hamilton speaking there to the BBC's David Croft. Well, the result of the Australian Grand Prix and that of the following one in Malaysia will be provisional, following an appeal by Ferrari, Red Bull and Renault over accusations that three of their rivals are using an illegal rear diffuser. Ross Brawn, boss of one of the teams accused, says he fully understands why his rivals feel they need to pursue the matter.
Yes, in fairness to the other teams, they had informed us of their concerns, and I say we respect those concerns. It is a highly competitive sport, and especially with a completely new set of regulations, there may well be, arguments about various aspects of them. It tends to happen when there's completely new regulations and it settles down after a while. But I think they behave fair and proper. They informed us of their intent. And we respect their right to challenge what anybody's doing.
Next to Florida, where Tiger Woods has made an impressive start to his bid to win a first golf tournament since recovering from major knee surgery. The world number one is just three shots off the lead after the first round of the Arnold Palmer Invitational at the Bay Hill Club. And as the BBC's golf correspondent Ian Carter reports, Woods appears to be back to full fitness.
Well, let there be no doubt, Tiger Woods' left knee is fully mended. Time and again, he was needing to crouch low beneath branches to plot an escape route, and he was making such moves without a second thought. His putting was also back to its trademark best to rescue his often erratic long game. He did so to such an extent that he goes into today's second round firmly in the thick of the tournament, three off Jason Gore's lead. Padraig Harrington is five off the pace, and he hopes to have overcome an irritating eye infection in time for today's round, which will again be played in Wood's company.
Some football news. Marseille have been ordered to play a match behind closed doors after repeated use of flares by their fans. The former European champions, who are second place in the French league, are to appeal against the decision. And staying with flames, the International Olympic Committee has decided to scrap the experiment of relaying the Olympic torch around the world. The torch was taken on a world tour before the last two games in Beijing and Athens, but Beijing was disrupted by political protests. In future, starting with London in 2012, tours will be restricted to the host country only. More details from the BBC's Gordon Farker.
There'll be few tears shed at the demise of the short-lived international torch relay. The London organisers had already said they had no plans to add an international leg to their relay, so the flame will stay within Great Britain in 2012. And no future host city would want a repeat of the controversy that surrounded the progress of the Beijing torch, which became a focus for protest over China's human rights record in London, Paris and San Francisco, among others. In banning future international legs, the IOC's executive committee have reflected the deep concern of the organisation's members over the damage to the image of what's supposed to be an inspirational symbol of unity and hope.
Next to tennis, and most of the top players are in action later in the second round of the Masters 1000 event in Miami, although the world number one, Rafael Nadal, doesn't start his campaign until Saturday. Roger Federer, Novak Djokovic and Andy Murray are all expected to progress to the next round, along with the fifth seed Andy Roddick, who takes on Diego Junqueira of Argentina. Roddick has made a career-best start to the season, winning 23 of his 27 matches, and he puts the improvement down to his new coach, Larry Stefanke.
Well, I mean, he has a huge knowledge of the players. You know, he's worked with guys who are on tour, and he knows it's very nice to trade thoughts about people's tendencies and how to go about a game plan. And I like his energy also. You know, we're not scared to work. We both enjoy the process of training, and it's just been a real good fit so far.
From Miami to Poland, where Britain's cyclists will once again be under pressure at the World Track Championships. The team that so dominated the Olympic Games in Beijing has so far won just one gold medal. Looking ahead from Pruszków, the BBC's Simon Brotherton.
Three sets of medals on offer on day three, one of them in the men's team pursuit. Now, Great Britain smashed the world record in winning the Olympic gold medal in Beijing, but their team looks very different here, with Ed Clancy the only gold medalist in the quartet, and he's the oldest as well at 23 years of age. Denmark, Australia and New Zealand will be challenging hard. The women's sprint gets underway but doesn't reach a conclusion, with the world and Olympic champion from Great Britain, Victoria Pendleton, in action. She could be pushed all the way by the likes of Anna Mears of Australia and Lithuania's Simona Krupiškaitė, who've both won gold here this week already. And the other medal rides are in the women's scratch race and the men's kilometre. The key point, though, from the first 2 days of these championships is that, unlike in the last couple of years, riders from Great Britain aren't winning everything going. They only have one gold medal so far, having won nine last year and seven the year before.
In NBA basketball, the LA Lakers maintain their lead at the top of the Western Conference after beating the Detroit Pistons 92-77. Kobe Bryant notched up 30 points to end a run of nine consecutive defeats in Detroit. Elsewhere, the Chicago Bulls beat the Miami Heat 106-87, and the Phoenix Suns went down 109-129 to the Portland Trailblazers. Before we go, our top stories again. New Zealand's cricketers are on course to level the Test series against India. The home side declared their first innings on 619-9. Before reducing the tourist to 79-3 at the close of the second day of the second test in Napier. And Nico Rosberg in the Williams was fastest in practice for Sunday's season-opening Grand Prix in Melbourne. More details on our website, bbcnewsworldservice.com. But for now, that's the latest.